Well, we're going to look at God's Word together. We're going to consider a bit more about baptism, as I've been suggesting earlier with that verse. We think about how we welcome people. We heard that God was adding to their number daily those who are being saved. Well, as we think of God's welcome, we're reminded of that in baptism. So we're going to take some time to reflect on that today. So we're going to read quite a key passage that speaks about baptism, and that's from Romans 6. The translation that we'll be reading, though, is the Message translation, which puts a different, more contemporary language on it. So I'll read that for us now. So what do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or don't you realize that we packed up and left there for good? That's what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we were lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Amen. This morning, I'd like us to start off by thinking just a bit about welcome. I've already pointed us in that direction. Perhaps the most common way in which we see it is the doormat there on your door, saying to folks as they come to visit, welcome. Although there's lots of different variances on that, and there's lots of different ways that actually, even if it says welcome, it might not be the case. I particularly like this one. And I didn't quite get a chance to get a picture of the man's doormat, but it does say, you again, ? Or something to that effect. Welcome. It's something that we think about, something that we do quite often. But also, it's something that can go wrong. As much as we see about it in jest, we've been confronted by that in the past week. We've seen the plight of migrants who have left North Africa in hope of a better life in Europe. It was catapulted into our news as the tragedies unfolded near the island of Lampedusa. The picture that you see before you has been referred to as a graveyard of boats, boats that have been seized and pulled up onto the shore, that paints a picture of those who have tried to get into Europe and who have failed. It's a bit of a political hot potato, to say the least, and lots of people and lots of governments have been scratching their head as to how to respond. But undoubtedly, particularly as we think about our own thoughts on this, it's fair to say that welcome has gone wrong. Welcome has gone wrong. There has been a great loss of life. It's been suggested that many of the people fleeing were indeed Christians who were fleeing persecution. They had hope for a better life, but yet that welcome has gone wrong along the way. From this, I do think we need to ask about how we are being welcoming. What's the challenge to us about being welcoming? In particular, what's the challenge when we think about groups to which we belong? Is there that fear that we might end up being in a bit of a clique? And also, of course, there's the challenge when we think about the way in which we welcome people in the church. Sadly, there's examples that we can share where welcomes have gone wrong, where people have felt hurt or have felt left out. There's a challenge to all of us when we begin to think of the topic of welcoming. But here's something that we can say with certainty. God's welcome is unconditional. The welcome into God's family is sure and certain, because that comes from God himself. Consider the words that Christ said as he met those people. He said to me, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." Come to me, he said. And then as we've read in Romans 6, we're reminded about what we are a part of. We see in Acts that God was adding to their number, and the way in which we are a part of that is seen in this act of baptism. Baptism which is grounded in what Christ has done, what Christ has achieved, and what Christ has brought about. So here's the challenge then. As we think about our welcome, as we think about our welcome to others, we chart that journey back to the own welcome that we have received. The welcome that we have received from Christ to be a part of his family, and in that we look back to baptism, or perhaps we consider it for the first time. And likewise, we look to the new life that Christ calls us to. We're going to look at these two things in turn. Firstly, the life where we came from, a new beginning that is marked by where we have come from. But likewise, a new life that's established in Christ. Now, I got thinking about how we could mark the journey of where we've been from. I got thinking about lots of different metaphors. We could look at our shoes, all the things that we carry on in our shoes, and we can tell where we've been from if we've walked through on a wet floor or whatever else. We could think perhaps of scars or war wounds, injuries and all the rest. Think of where we've been from. We could tell a few stories about cycling that's gone wrong. Likewise, we could tell stories from pictures, places that we've been and all the rest. When we think about where we've been, when we scratch our head for all the metaphors, when we get to Romans 6, when we get to what Paul is sharing, we realise they begin to fall short. Here's why. What Paul begins to establish, what he points out, is where we have come from, where we have been before as we've come into God's family, where we've come from is a place that is separate from him. Those words again from the Message translation. That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace. A new life in a new land. Here's what we're talking about. Here's the place that has been left behind. It's a life without God. A life where instead of worshipping God, we have ourselves as number one. We are separate from God, and it brings different heavy burdens to bear in many different and difficult ways. Here's what we're talking about. Here's where we have come from. A life without God. I'd like to give an example of this. An example that we read back in Acts. It's in Acts chapter 16. And it's a story about a man who worked as a jailer. Now the story charts through that the disciples had been put in jail. Now they were praying together and they were worshipping the Lord, when all of a sudden there was a sudden shaking and the doors of the jail flew open. Well, here's the response of the jailer. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He thought that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." Here is a place of desperation. A low point for sure. The realization that things have gone so wrong that they can't be recovered. He draws his sword to take his own life. It says this, "The jailer then called for the lights, and he rushed and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, he asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And then we go on to chart a wonderful story of transformation, about how this man and his family come to be a part of God's family. Here is a new beginning. Here is a new beginning that points back to a change. A change from what was before. Here was this man in an absolute place of desperation, at his wit's end, drawing his own sword. Here's where he has come from. Here's a new place. A place of hope. Well, with that, I'd like us to think just a bit about a new life. As we're reminded in baptism, we are made alive in Christ. We talk about and we affirm newness of life. And it's quite something. It's a display, and Paul teases it out in what he's saying in Romans, that we belong to something far greater. There's lots of different ways that we can show we belong to something. We can put the sticker on the back of our car. We can wear a football strip or whatever else. We can like things on Facebook that show that we are behind something, that this is what we believe and this is what we're about. You can show that you belong in lots of different ways. You can carry your library membership card. But here is something like no other. In baptism, we show that we are a part of something far, far greater. That there has been a change in our lives. Coming up out of the water, what is pointed to in Paul's letter to the Romans is that we share in the victory that Christ defeated the grave. At Easter, we celebrate and remember that the tomb was empty. In baptism, we announce these things and we show that we belong to a new life. A new life like no other. And so that is what welcoming people is all about. We come back to ourselves and we say, well, I've journeyed from that point. I can look to my own testimony in that. Being in a place where I've been separate from God. But then coming to a realization and affirming that. And the knowledge that Christ has shown the greatest victory of all. He has defeated death in a lasting way as he rose from the grave. We belong to this victory. In Acts chapter 2, we're reminded that God was adding to their number those who were being saved. God wasn't adding to the number those who thought, well, would it be great if I could have something to belong to, something that I could put a sticker on my car about or like on Facebook. God was adding to the number those who were being saved. This is life-transforming stuff, through and through. As we think about the call to go out and to welcome, we're reminded of our own transformation. We're reminded of what has been brought about, what once was, and what is now, as we live out a life celebrating the fact that Christ has risen. And so, as a wee slight note, I've given up on conclusions. I think they fall short of it. Rather, I'd much rather give a challenge. Here's my challenge to you, rather than a concluding word. The first is to go back to what I was pointing to earlier. If we think about how God is calling people to be a part, to belong, to add to the number of his body, that is the church, how can we take a part in that as people who have realized God in our lives and who want to share that? Well, I'm going to show you just how simple it is. David, would you like to come to church on Sunday?
I know it's a bit bad, but I know I'll find my face up and down the line. David, we're happy to spend the service and would you like to come? It's that simple.
As we think about what God has done in our lives, even if we get embarrassed, even if we get challenged, it's that invite. Here's something that's wonderful that's happened in my life. Inside, I might want to dance and jump up and down, but because I'm Scottish, I'll just stand still. It's wonderful, but I want to share it. And here's a simple way in which I could do it. I could pass on an invite. Here's my challenge to you as we think about how God is welcoming, how God is adding to his number those who are being saved. Here's the other challenge. Perhaps you're still thinking, well, I don't actually know what that means for me. Those words that Stuart keeps on using in his sermon, they're just going right over my head. It sounds fun and it sounds familiar, that talk of a new life, that talk of belonging to something, that talk of being a part of something. Well, rather than conclusion, here's my challenge. Alpha Course, starting on the 30th of October, 11 weeks, you get your dinner and you come along and you get a wonderful opportunity to deal with some of the big questions of life. Perhaps it's more of an invite than a challenge, in the same way that I just invited David to chat. But here, an opportunity to learn more. Well, as we close with these challenges, let's pray together.